In this section, Peter Collins speaks about and explains what the following cutbacks at the Bath Institution mean for prisoners. Overtime pay had been eliminated, the fair work evaluations are now gone, and so is the full compliance status with the correctional plan. Photocopying has been restricted, unescorted temporary absences as well as escorted temporary absences and work releases have been eliminated. Also, digital watches are no longer permitted. Another question I have is in regards to the overtime pay, which has been eliminated. When have prisoners received overtime in the past? And also, what is the average daily wage for prisoners working in the Bath Institution?
Okay, it doesn't matter from institution to institution. The average daily wage of prisoners is being cut back from, in between $5 and $6 a day to around $4 a day. They're doing this through an incredibly complex work evaluation sheet that they use to evaluate your work. And, if you don't get excellent across this, I think there's six criteria, you lose a pay grade. So we get paid very little across Canada. Although you may have heard of some news reports where people who work in a shop called Corcan Wood Shop or Corcan Metal Shop get paid more. That's true. There are incentive programs, but they've also been cut back as well. The idea of those programs is to teach people work ethics and skills so that when they get out, they don't return to a life of crime and they use the skills they learn in theory to make sure they stay out.
And what type of work do prisoners do in the Bath Institution?
Well, in prison, most of the jobs are make-work jobs. They're not real jobs. They're, there's really, it's a sort of a synthetic kind of work environment where you, if you're a cleaner, you have a small amount of work to do and you do that. I guess there are some jobs, but I don't think very many jobs give you any. There's not much chance of you getting any job satisfaction out of any of the work you do. Most of it's menial labor, sort of degrading work.
Now you were speaking earlier. You mentioned earlier in regards to the pay about this fair work evaluations.
Yeah.
Could you explain? Because these have been eliminated now. Right?
What's been eliminated?
The fair work evaluations?
Yeah, I think there's been a direction from regional headquarters saying that Ontario has the highest paid prisoners in Canada, and or that Ontario spends the most paying prisoners. I'm not sure about the credibility of what they're saying, but given that we have the most prisoners in Canada, in Ontario, I can see that they would obviously be spending more on pay than a province that has less prisoners. However, what they've done is told them, that they're spending too much money and so essentially what they're doing is giving marching orders for the administrations to start enforcing cutbacks, on the pay. So what they're doing is looking for reasons to, cut your pay back. One of the ways that they do that is by giving you these complex evaluations that really nobody could maintain excellent on everything all the time. No one can do that. They certainly don't maintain their pay levels with excellent performance reports as government employees, but I guess it's different criteria for us.
Could you explain what is the full compliance status with correctional plan? According to parole officers, the warden has directed that, quote, no inmate can be in full compliance with their correction plan if they are still in prison. Could you elaborate on what this means, this quote, and also what in fact is the correctional plan?
Yes. A correctional plan is something that's formulated when you're placed in prison. They look at what factors led to your incarceration, whether you have drug and alcohol problems, whether you have employment problems, whether you have social problems, you know, or et cetera. So then they put together these programs that you're supposed to follow throughout, you know, so you're supposed to stay drug-free, remain charge-free, attend your programs, whether it's for drug rehabilitation or, you know, to deal with if you're a sex offender, to deal with that, or if you're, you know, if you're have family violence issues, to deal with that, you know, that kind of thing, and maybe to go to school and upgrade your level of education. So those are some of the things that a correctional plan would entail. And what she did was she said that anybody who is still in prison can't be in full compliance. And when she did this, the rationale for doing this is, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for her because, well, you know, I don't know what her rationale is or was. But the result of doing that was that it automatically raised everybody's security rating scale, which is, you know, illegal. There's certain criteria that you have to meet, and you can't across the board say everybody falls into a criteria. So she was challenged on that, and she lost that. So that's been rescinded now.
So the full compliance status with correctional...
I'm back in full compliance in mine, and a lot of other guys are too. So when she did that, she was out of line, and she got pulled up on it, and they've had to stop that. So now people are no longer said to be not in full compliance, unless they're not in full compliance. You know, like, a rational way for me not to be in full compliance is for them to say, I need an anger management course, and I say, well, I'm not going to take one. Well, now I'm not in compliance, so she's had to change her opinion on that. I wish she didn't, because it would be nice to continue, but, you know, I guess she, can't be stupid all the time. You know, I mean stupid in the most respectful way.
Yes, I know what you mean. Photocopying has been greatly restricted. There's been drastic cutbacks for photocopying that have taken place, and now the prisoners are only allowed to photocopy grievances that they've made or legal documentation. Is that so?
That's true. We have limited access to it, and what happens is, say I want to send photocopies to somebody of case management reports or whatever, I have to fill out a 532 form, which is a financial processing form, bring it to the woman who runs the grievance office. She will then bring it to finance, or it'll be sent to finance. Finance will say whether or not I've got the money. It'll go back to her. You know, this all takes time. And then they'll photocopy the pages I need. So, you know, in a few weeks you might be able to see your copies if you have enough money to pay for it.
How much does it cost?
I believe it's 10 cents a page, but it could be more. I don't know.
And what about in regards to digital watches? Now the prisoners can no longer have digital watches. Why is this so?
Well, they suggest that you can't tell what might be in a digital watch. I guess since the computers have come out and everything's become micro, they've really reduced the size of a lot of things that you can have all kinds of things inside a watch. So, you know, you could have a global positioning device in a watch, and that's what they're afraid of. They say, know where you are or something, I don't know. You know, like as if you didn't know where you were already. I guess, though, you could have cameras in a watch now. Is that right? You know, you could have a tape recorder, a remote control for your TV, you know, things like that inside a digital watch. And what they're saying is that they can't tell the difference between a watch that costs $30 from Walmart or Radio Shack, a digital watch that costs $30, so they can't tell that between a global positioning device, which obviously wouldn't cost $30 from Radio Shack. You know, but their story is that they wouldn't be able to tell, that it's labor-intensive to check these things, you know, stuff like that. Typical CSC decision-making.
One of the other aspects that I'd like to speak to you in regards to what was eliminated was the ETA, the UTA, fence clearance, and work releases. First, I'd like you to explain what these four things are.
Okay. A work release is, I guess, an extended UTA where you could get a job in town and they would, you know, in the morning you would go out and work and then come back in the evening. These would obviously be toward the end of someone's sentence in a gradual release process. There's UTAs, which is an unescorted temporary absence. Usually these are, several days long. And again, they would be toward the end of someone's sentence. And it would be part of a gradual, release into the community, to see how the person manages the freedom. And an ETA is an escorted temporary absence. These are often used for funerals, if someone's family dies, someone in their family dies, and they bring you out to do it with staff with you. You know, and this would occur usually regardless of how long the sentence is, or how much time you've served of it. Also, they use it as a precursor to UTAs. So an ETA package from the parole board might entail six ETAs, and you would go out on those. So you would go out escorted with staff and then, come back, and those would usually be only, a few hours long, maybe 3 hours long or sometimes 6 hours long. And then you would come back and you would finish the six ETAs over a period of, maybe 6 months or something. And then you would see the parole board again, and then they might give you, day parole, or they might give you a UTA program. So that would bring us to day parole. Day parole would be when you are in a halfway house, which is a step in between an institution, a minimum security institution, and being free on full parole. I guess full parole wouldn't be being free, but on full parole you would live at your house and you would have to report, say once a month or once a week or twice a week, depending on what criteria they give you to follow. Fence clearance would be when you work outside the fence. So, sometimes when you drive up to a prison, you might see somebody cutting the lawn outside the perimeter fences, the security perimeter fences. Those could be prisoners working outside the prison, but they're not on work release. They're on a fence clearance where they're still on the Federal Reserve, which is the penitentiary property, but they're not inside the perimeter fence. And they cut those all together out for, the reason they gave was if you could have fence clearance, you should be in a minimum security. But, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what they did. And the warden here has cut work releases because she, I don't know what the rationale was. She just said she's cut them. But again, that's been challenged and won. And what she's done is she's now said that she made a mistake. That's not what she meant. It just came out wrong when she said it. But the facts are that nobody's getting these programs. But now she's on record saying that she's not stopping people from getting, that you're allowed to have them. But she just doesn't do them.
But she must have put this in writing somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then how can she say that she didn't say what she meant?
Oh, well, yeah, because she's a member of the CSC, and whenever they say something, they always wiggle out of it, and it doesn't even matter if it makes sense. They wiggle out of it by saying, oh, that was a mistake. I didn't mean that. This is what I meant. It's very easy when, you have all the power and, really nobody questioning you, or nobody with the ability to hold you accountable for the things you say and do.